Some of the comics should have grown up with us. All of them tried to grow up with us.
Yes.
Starring in the podcast that just won't die, Mike Adams,
Bruce Hugh,
Justin Watson present The Break-In.
All right, we're back for week four of The Break-Ins. So tonight's topic about breaking in new readers to the comic book industry,
which is difficult.
What ways do you get to, do you view it as getting them hooked on something? Or do you have a strategy that you go with?
Well, I don't actively recruit people. I mean, I've shown people other comics that I own, try to get them relatively interested in all that before, but I don't set out to Shanghai people into the World Cup.
If somebody says, well, that's always interesting to me, you said, oh, hey, well, why don't you check this out, or, then see if they like it, and then if they do, see if that can get them into, discussions, and they're going on picking up stuff.
Well, I think the biggest thing is just letting people know that they aren't all written for 4 and 5 year olds or mental deficients. There seems to be that stereotype still exists. I mean, look at a lot of movies. The people who read comic books in movies or television shows, they're either children or retarded.
Right.
I keep thinking back to Lawnmower Man. The Lawnmower Man, huge comic book fan. Everyone in town made fun of him. Oh, and by the way, he's also retarded.
And
retarded.
In Japan, they're pretty popular among everyone.
Yeah.
You know.
They actually will do books for different like collections, I guess is the best way to go about it, because they have a different format where the manga actually comes out and you get a book, you pay like, I guess it'd be the equivalent of about $10, and you get like 7 or 8 stories in it, but they're all centered around, well, we want to base this around younger women, or we want to base this around a male adult, or something along that lines.
You plan up the demos like American TV shows.
Correct. It's instead of time frames, you have a book that's, in what's to them, like adult, graphic, style books too that you can pick up too. Like, some people are into that. It's just really all what you want. You can literally just choose how you want to go about it.
I'm trying to think back to some of the first comics I gave my wife. I know she liked X-Men because of the cartoon in the 90s. She was aware of that, so she'd see me reading some X-Men comics, and she'd try to have a conversation about Rogue, and I would say, no, it's not like that, or Gambit, or whoever. The comic book version. Said, no, this is the real version.
Yeah. Everything else is second nature.
Exactly. And she got really really hooked on the Rogue and Gambit being in love type of thing, and she connected with that. I bought that Kyle Baker's You Are Here and gave that to her. And that's kind of like the romantic comedy equivalent of the comic book. And Kyle Baker's style is very, it's Disney storyboard artist. Everyone can look at it, and it's not frightening.
Justin always said a good one to try to get
female
characters involved, too. I killed her.
Kill Your Boyfriend.
Kill Your Boyfriend by Grant Morrison.
Mm-hmm.
And Philip Bond.
Yeah, Philip Bond. I think...
Great book.
I've introduced several female readers because I think, if anything, most females want to kill their boyfriends. So the title alone gets them interested. And when they read a book that's not about superheroes, they're even more interested.
Right.
I also use Preacher, depending on... I try to judge it by how religious someone is, depending on how I'm going to sell it to them. But I do explain that there's all these kinds of options. And then slowly and surely I'll start to slip in, other books. Oh, you like that? You like Grant Morrison, huh? Well, he actually does do this great All-Star Superman.
What kind of comic content seems to be easier to bring in a new reader.
It depends on what the book is. Boom, they just had Farscape. They've been publishing Farscape comics for, I don't know, 3 or 4 months now. And there are people that my wife works with who are Farscape fans. She told them about it, and now we're buying 2 copies of every Farscape book.
Oh, we get another reading in them too?
Exactly. There was other people that worked with her who were fans of Firefly and Serenity. We bought 2 copies. I think we actually bought 3 copies of each issue of that. And she gave 2 to each of her friends. And I told them about the Buffy, was it season 8?
Yeah, season 8.
And for some reason, and I thought, okay, this will be a point where I can say, you know, you can pick it up at your local comic book shop.
Right.
And then they didn't. So it apparently was a huge difference, me bringing it to them and then having to go out and get it themselves.
You think that it's people are of, like, I guess paranoid or afraid to be seen going into a place like that?
Well, I don't know if it's they're afraid to be seen, but have you ever gotten really good service at any comic book shop? Be completely honest.
It depends on the employee.
Yes, I'll go with you on that. I've gotten stellar service before, where they've literally bent over backwards to, if they didn't have a book, to make sure that I got it the next time around, or some places they'll even be like, oh, I have a guy who only comes in monthly, so you can just have it, and I've already reordered it, so he'll get another copy of it. It's not a big deal. He's not in for another 3 weeks, you know? But but then you have sometimes where you're very, very neglected, and if you don't speak their language, so to speak, then you're going to be really lost and really shunned there, too.
Yeah, I really wish that there was, I don't want to say less mom and pop comic book shops, but more like a franchise type of thing, where I'd like people to walk into a comic book shop and one, it'd be labeled what's where, instead of just, oh, that box in the back that has a handwritten sign on the side that says 50 cents, it's actually 25, and see this glass table over here, everything on it is new. See the plastic table, everything's old. I'd like to be able to walk in and everything clearly labeled. I would also appreciate it if comic book shop employees wore some sort of shirt to let me know they work there.
Yeah.
A name tag, a paper hat.
With the Buffies, as you mentioned, Bruce, and I was going to mention as well, they can get the trades at the bookstores.
True, but if they don't know it exists.
That's what you say. Well, I want to let you know also, they did a trade of it, and they sell it at, you know, the big bookstores. I did that with the Star Trek. Oh, you really like the new Star Trek movie. Well, they did a prequel comic book, which took place, led right up to it, and they made it into a trade, and it's at the big, you can either the comic book stores, or you can get it at, you know, the bookstores.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be our responsibility to tell people that at Dark Horse, Marvel, DC. Maybe buy some commercial stuff. Maybe advertise outside of comic books, about comic books.
Right.
When's the last time you've ever seen a Superman ad in the back of an Entertainment Weekly or any periodical whatsoever? TV Guide. People watch Smallville. People watch television. People will buy TV Guide because it's about television.
Right.
So a Smallville ad or just during the same day, say, hey, you know what? We've got all these new Superman books coming out. Grant Morrison's trade and Superman run. The companies need to advertise for themselves. They can't just rely on people like
us,
me and you guys, to spread word of mouth. We are horrible about that.
Well, subject matter, I always think about a lot because I try to think, and it's not just about getting adults in the comics, it's also about getting kids in the comics, which is... am I naive to think that when I was younger, subject matter was less, or was it the same? And I'm just, nostalgia makes me think that it was less.
As far as, like, what are you trying to say?
There's a lot of crazy stuff that goes in the comic books these days. And I feel, should they be in there for kids to read? Do I have to read... Do I have to, as a kid, do I have to read almost animated versions of these characters in order to get into them? Or should I automatically be picking up the bigger ones? Should I pick up Tiny Titans, or should I pick up Teen Titans?
Right.
When's the last time you went back and read any of your old comics from the 80s?
Occasionally I do. I read.
Do you think they're well written by today's standards? Do you still enjoy them the same way you did back then, or do you enjoy the memory of them?
Okay, well, here, let me offer a little bit of a different opinion on this, Bruce. Since you and Justin have been into comics a lot longer than I have, I mean, I've really only been into it for 5-6 years now, because, I mean, I had, you know, until Rebirth came out, I had not picked up a comic in probably maybe 8 or so years. Going back, like, and, you know, like, looking at the older stuff, I like the older stuff sometimes better than the newer stuff. And I don't know if it's just because of the particular style that I like it, if I like the classic Silver Age style look to it, or the fact that it's actually in pulp and it was, it didn't have to look, didn't have all the realism that a lot of new ones, not to say that a lot of people don't put a lot of time and effort into their artwork to make it look ridiculously real. Like, I mean, you look at Alex Ross's stuff, and I mean, he obviously uses real images, and it looks so good, but then again, it's not the same storytelling style necessarily as a lot of the other stuff, and I think I like that. Like, the one thing I love about older comics is that they used to put, there would be captions and people having conversations on it, and I like the thought bubbles that they would have inside the issue. Like, if I don't get out of the way, you know, they don't do a lot of stuff like that anymore. So, I don't know if people don't like that style anymore, or if just because of the constant evolve out of the 90s, for people to try to get away from that is so much. And not that the 90s necessarily made bad comics, it's just that the fact that they were really over the top, that was just the time frame, though, you know what I mean? And it seems like everybody wanted to be anti that they had to make it very real. Real life gritty, and then that, I guess that just changes the visual style of it.
I think some of the older ideas can still make sense today based on the character. I do not need a grim and gritty Legion of Superheroes. Mm-hmm. Legion of Superheroes can still have thought bubbles. They can still say G. Willikers. I think you could do a Legion of Superheroes anthology where you can wrap up a story in 6 pages, like some of the old Legion comics. I think The Flash would lend himself to that. I don't think Batman would lend himself to the older style of storytelling currently.
Well, yeah, and that's because Batman almost didn't take itself seriously for a while, it seemed like. You know what I mean? It was really kind of goofy. The villains just became more outlandish, and instead of being the detective-based style, like, that it is, you know, where he's actually going out and solving this and that and the other.
Yeah,
as opposed to, how did the Riddler get me this time, you know? But
yeah.
I still like that, though.
A couple years ago, several years ago, Marvel was doing the 25-cent. You remember that? Or the 10-cent book? They were doing 10-cent books, 25-cent books. DC was doing it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys ever read the Hulk one?
No.
What's that?
I have a couple copies. I'll try to get it to you guys sometimes. It was terrible. This is, you know, here you are, you make a really cheap comic book, which is a good idea to try to get people in. But either A, they used it as a launching point to tell some other story, which I didn't agree with, because now they have, you know, I understand now you're trying to get back in, but it's now it's so mired into whatever the past stories was, it's still confusing for the new reader.
Mm-hmm.
And but the Hulk one was horrendous. It was it was pretty adult themed. Book, and it's
made that the whole concept behind that is to try to get new people in it,
right? Which would also be not just teens and up, you know. But
right.
Well, I think part of the problem is with Marvel and DC is they put out the 20-25 cent issues, and they're like, oh, don't understand what's going on. Go out and buy this 40-year collection of trades. You can catch up today.
Well, yeah, you don't need that.
Well, no one's going to do that. That's too much work and too much money.
You know,
start over.
Go ahead. Yeah. You know which one did a pretty good job about that recently? DC Universe Zero. That was, I think, people that are, like, even the most casual of readers could have picked that up and gone, well, this is interesting, because it actually explained stuff from the past now, you know what I mean? And how it relates to now.
Just because people could have picked it up, did people pick it up?
That's a good question. That I don't know.
Something I used to do, and I haven't done in a while, one, because they haven't done these cheap comics, is I would pick up maybe 10 or 15, 25 cent issues. And then I would keep in my car. And if I went to my insurance place or went to my doctor's office, I would take a copy and say, hey, can I just leave this here, you know, whatever. And they didn't seem to mind, because it was more reading material. And they saw a comic book.
For comics.
They saw a comic book, so they knew that, oh, well, you know, we're going to have, once again, now they're going back in their mind, we're going to have a kid in here reading it. And that would keep them busy. But someone's going to at least look at it.
I think Free Comic Book Day, part of the problem with how their approach of Free Comic Book Day is that they don't always seem like they put the effort into it they should do to try to pull in new readers. Because I think they realize that, and there again, I think it goes back to kind of the marketing thing, is they really make a Free Comic Book Day something that, you know, maybe a person who's been collecting comics for a while, you know, missed this, so they throw that out there. It's just basically free.
Yeah. If it would have been relevant, if it would have tied into something, I would love to talk to Robert Kirkman. You guys know, like Robert Kirkman.
Mm-hmm. He's a good
launch. The Astounding Wolfman on Free Comic Book Day.
Oh, I had that issue, and it was pretty good.
You didn't pick up the second one.
However, no. I wish I would have, though. I've heard it's actually been a pretty decent series.
But I think launching the book on Free Comic Book Day is genius. Here's the first one. It's an actual story. It actually makes sense. It actually leads into something else. You can come back days later and continue this.
What about Blackest Night's Crypt?
I'm not really sure if that wasn't even a prelude to issue one.
Yeah, it was.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How long of a break was there between zero and one?
As far as, like, in continuity-wise, or in actual months?
In actual human length of time.
Then probably about 2 months. Mm-hmm. But three.
So 3 months. We're looking at 12 Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say Tommy Johnson bought Blackest Night Zero, enjoyed it. So he picks that up a few times with it. Like, this is awesome. I wish I had a Black Ring of Death. Mm-hmm. Let me go back to my comic book shop in 3 days from now to pick up the next one. He goes back in, and what was going on at the time? Was it the Rage of the Red Lanterns?
No, it was, Rage of the Red Lanterns has been done for a while, but it was Agent Orange.
Okay, so Tom Johnson walks back in, looking for the Black Hand.
Uh-huh.
And there's this creepy little orange guy. That's not what Tommy Johnson wanted.
Right.
Tommy Johnson, bad.
Poor Tommy.
Tommy Johnson disappointed. Tommy Johnson says, Tommy, well, thank you coming back. You see what I'm getting at? The Tommy Johnson of the world.
Makes sense.
Am I the only one that's thought of it?
Well, here's another thing. Let's say you are a new reader, and this goes to a timing issue now. And you're a new reader, and you're getting into it, and you're like, well, cool, you know? I did go out, and I got my trades and everything, and I'm caught up with what's going on. And then all of a sudden, like, but you're not into the whole, you don't follow, like, you know, the podcast that people do, like this one, or solicits and stuff. So you don't know when the next issue is. And you get an artist who slows everything down, like, who just, you know, my God, imagine this, it's 2005, and you're really excited because there's this new standalone story coming out, and it's called All-Star Batman and Robin. You're like, hey, Batman's a really cool concept, and, you know, I'll get to see this new interpretation of how Robin is and everything, and I've never really picked up comics before, but I'll go for this, and all of a sudden you're like, cool, there's issue one, and you're like, wow, issue two took a little bit longer to come out, it's been like a month and a half, that's weird, and then all of a sudden you're like, you keep going to the shop, where's All-Star Batman and Robin, you know?
Yeah.
And now, let's say, I mean, now it's just stopped at issue 10. They don't even have a solicit.
Probably never will.
All-Star Batman and Robin goes with couple of things that we're talking about here, one that we haven't got to yet, which is DC promoted the All-Star line as a family-friendly book. From everything I gathered, at least the way I interpreted the stuff they were talking about, and All-Star Superman delivered on that.
Yeah, I thought the All-Star line was supposed to be timeless.
But All-Star Batman and Robin, now, which I do like, by the way. I'm not saying I don't like it. I'm one of the fans of the book. But what I'm saying is that... thank you, Mike. What I'm saying is that if it was capitalizing on Batman Begins, which it was, you saw Batman Begins, great. Pick up Batman Year One. That'll help you out.
Also good read. That should have been something at the end credits. Batman Begins. A commercial or something. If you enjoy this movie, try our comics.
Visually, I feel All-Star Batman and Robin appeal to people. Mm-hmm. It's just that's one of the good things I had going for it, at least for bringing people in. Wow, this looks pretty awesome.
Do you think Splash Pages really sells the stuff too, or like people want to see like their character just bam, take up a whole two-page spread, you know?
If you picked up the book, I don't think we need to sell you mid-book on the book you've already picked up. I blame the comic book industry. I think it needs to save itself. Justin cannot be the ambassador for comics. Marvel and DC need to take some of the money and invest in radio advertising, print advertising, television advertising. If you're selling off these properties, all you need to do is sign some sort of clause or something in there and say, at the end of something as successful as The Dark Knight, hey, if you've enjoyed what you just watched, go out and buy these mini fun graphic novels. It's that easy. People have money. Clearly they have money to go into the theaters and see things like Iron Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sell the comic to them. That's all I'm asking. Not the lunchbox, not the sheets, not the custom Iron Man lamp or dildo or whatever. The comics. That's it. How simple is that? My recommendation would be Runaways from the Beginning, written by Brian K. Vaughan. I will also suggest Ex Machina. Brian K. Vaughan, even before he wrote for Lost, he wrote very serialized. Everything has a cliffhanger. Everything gets you right at the end. Everything demands you to come back. A lot of people could learn from Brian K. Vaughan. He writes perfect beginner comics.
I think, really, any of the Frank Miller Batman stuff, I think, is pretty good stuff, especially Batman Year One. That's a good way that if you really did enjoy the Batman Begins movie and you wanted to get into the Batman comics, that's probably an excellent starting point to get, like, learning how Batman became Batman, I think. And I think the thing that's even more brilliant about his Dark Knight stuff is that it takes place so far in Bruce Wayne's future that it doesn't matter, you know what I mean? So I think that's a good one. I like, since Justin had been talking about The Preacher earlier, Garth Ennis' other book, it's a smaller book. It was technically only one issue, but he did a small one after it too, and it's The Pro. Very, very funny stuff. And to show a little love towards Bruce's way, I like Robert Kirkman's Image stuff too. Invincible, really good series to get into, as well as The Walking Dead. I think both are fantastic. I guess if anything else too, Savage Dragon. What issue was it that they did for Free Comic Book Day? That was a good Free Comic Book because they actually told you what's gone on through his life, and that was, I think, a good way to start into that.
I think it was 148.
Eric Larson's Savage Dragon too, and that's a pretty decent one. I wish, as much as I like the Teen Titans and the Green Lantern, there is no good jumping on point without having to do a lot of studying, you know. If you would like to do this, Teen Titan-wise, I definitely recommend the Marvel Wolfman, George Perez era Titans. I think it's easily, like I said, it's one of my favorites. And it,
For Green Lantern, probably the Secret Origins trade that just came out recently. That was a really good storyline, too. That'll sum up what Green Lantern is now and how he started.
You would not suggest the John Stewart Mosaic miniseries?
No. No, I have to agree with Bruce. As much as I try to get people in, like, people will, I don't know if they're being nice or if they're actually being serious, but they'll read just about anything I give them. Unless you're Justin, they can put it up on the top shelf so it doesn't get damaged and then forget about it. They'll read it. They won't go pick anything up themselves. People are lazy. If that's your case and you don't want to do that, that's great. Still come and visit Justin and myself and Bruce and buy our comics.
My comic book recommendations are, I recommend All-Star Superman by Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely.
Good
one. I also recommend another Brian K. Vaughan book, which is Why the Last Man. Once again, for the female readers, nothing better to think about than almost every man on the planet dying. That makes everyone happy.
It does.
Because the female readers are reading it, and the, now the guys and the women, they can talk about something. I challenge any listener to bring either A, to go down to, if they don't buy comic books, and they're actually listening to this because they're friends of ours, to go to the local comic book shop, or to the library, or to a bookstore and pick up one of the books that we suggested, or even half price, a cheap bookstore. Yeah. As well. Or I challenge people that do listen to this and do read comic books to find someone that does not and get them involved. That's my challenge.
Oh, yes. One kind of side quick thing just to throw out. Do any of the companies do subscriptions anymore?
Yes. Actually, through the website you can still sign up for it.
Okay. Well, that there's an option for people that don't want to go to the comic shop.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty.
Cool.
Okay. I'm going to hop off here and bake a cake.
Sounds good.
You guys have a wonderful night.
Spread the word, spread the love.
Yeah, Bob Marley style.
Well, better than Bob Marley. I was going to go like Marley and me style.